From the KTOO newsroom, I'm Rasha McChesney with this news. A federal judge has ruled Juno can keep collecting fees from cruise ship passengers, but as Coast Alaska's Jacob Resnick reports, the judge sided with the cruise industry, which sued over how those funds are spent.
Juno's local government collects $8 per cruise ship passenger. It uses those funds to build things like bigger docks for bigger cruise ships. But it's also funded things like extra crossing guards, public bathrooms, and a seawalk it says serves the million-plus cruise ship visitors arriving downtown annually. The industry sued in 2016, alleging the city spends the money too freely. Its complaint challenged the legality of the fees, which brought in more than $8 million last year, and is expected to increase with the number of visitors. In his 35-page ruling, Judge Russell Holland accepted the industry's arguments that fees need to be connected to the vessel. He used an example. Funding a gangplank used by both passengers and the general public would be okay, but funding repairs to the adjoining sidewalk, which aren't attached to the ship, would not.
We don't know exactly what this means yet, and we're still trying to digest the sum total of his order.
That's Juneau City Manager Rory Watt. This week, the city put out a call for proposals from the public on how to spend the next round of passenger fees.
You know, obviously, how we move forward with expenditures of fees, we're going to be closely reading Judge Holland's order and figuring out what our next steps are.
Maritime lawyer Joe Geldof wrote the initiative that Juneau voters passed in 1999, creating the marine passenger fee.
This isn't a win so much for the cruise ship lines and the cruise ship industry as rebuking the sort of undisciplined spending on the part of the city and borough and the recommendations by the city and borough staff and the anemic response by the city and borough's lawyers. That's how I view this.
There are also wider implications. The statewide head tax, passed by voters in 2006, is similarly structured. It collected more than $18.5 million last year. The lion's share went to port communities.
Judge Holland appears to have said collecting the fee is fine, but how the funds derived from the passenger ship fee is where the big problem is.
And other communities like Ketchikan levy their own passenger fees. Geldof says the state's attorney general needs to give guidance to communities on how it can spend this revenue going forward. The cruise industry welcomed Thursday's ruling. Cruise Lines International Association Alaska President John Binkley said in a statement, "The industry is pleased with the ruling and the clarity with which the judge detailed his opinion." He said they won't appeal. Thus likely ends a 2.5-year saga that cost the city and borough of Juneau $800,000 for its legal defense. And yes, some of that was paid with passenger fees. Reporting in Juneau, I'm Jacob Resnick.
Juneau police have detained one person after an attempted bank robbery at the downtown Juneau Wells Fargo. In a Facebook post, the Juneau Police Department wrote that Wells Fargo employees contacted police around 2:40 p.m. to report that a person came into the bank and demanded money. Officers responded and are currently investigating the incident. According to the post, officers located a person matching the suspect's description downtown and detained them. A spokesperson for the police could not immediately be reached for more details. And strong aftershocks from last week's powerful earthquake in south-central Alaska continue to shake up residents. A 4.8 magnitude aftershock struck at 12:45 p.m. today, followed a minute later by a 4.1 magnitude aftershock. And the trailing candidate in the back-and-forth nearly tied race for House District 1 in Fairbanks is now appealing the results. Catherine Dodge filed an appeal asking the Alaska Supreme Court to review some of the ballots counted last Friday by the Division of Elections. KUAC's Robin reports.
Catherine Dodge had 5 days after last Friday's recount to make the appeal. The Division of Elections ran through every ballot for House District 1 near Fairbanks and counted 2,662 for Dodge and 2,663 for her opponent, Bart Laban. She says she wants every legal vote to be counted.
We spent about 4 days reviewing the decisions, reviewing the ballots, reviewing the facts, and have concluded that there are at least 4 instances that we think deserve further review.
Dodge's attorney, Patrick Munson, filed an application for relief with the Alaska Supreme Court. The court will schedule a hearing and review the process of the recount. But Munson says he's not sure how they will proceed.
Yeah, it's pretty vague under Alaska law, to be honest with you. The court has a lot of leeway to kind of fashion a proceeding that is really tailored to the issues that are before them. They'll come up with a proceeding that works efficiently for everyone to get to the truth.
The Supreme Court clerk's office declined to comment on what comes next, as they had not reviewed the complaint yet. Catherine Dodge's campaign will be paying for the court proceeding and has started accepting contributions again.
And we've set up a legal fund, which is the appropriate vehicle, apparently. And we have confidence in this process.
The outcome of this race could determine control of the Alaska House of Representatives. If Bart Lebon's victory stands, there will be 21 Republicans. If Dodge's appeal results in her winning the seat, the House will be split 20-20. In Fairbanks, I'm Robin.
And several Alaska Native organizations asked Governor Mike Donlevy today to fund investigations and prosecutions of cases of missing and murdered Alaska Native women and girls. Kendra Claster is the executive director of Native Peoples Action. She drafted a letter to Donlevy asking for his support.
There's an alarming number of Indigenous women and girls that have disappeared or been murdered each year. And we just feel that there's really an absence of a voice for them.
The letter asks Donlevy to include money in his proposal for the next state budget, which his administration is scheduled to release on December 15th. In response to questions about the letter, Donlevy spokesman Jeff Turner says the Department of Public Safety will make a recommendation in its proposed budget for the Donlevy administration to review. Donlevy said in a statement to the Associated Press that, as a father of three girls, his heart goes out to the families who have lost loved ones to violence. He said through a spokesman that public safety in Alaska is broken, and he is committed to fixing it. In his final draft budget, former Governor Bill Walker included funding for two investigators for the cases. It would also provide money to inventory past cases and analyze law enforcement's approach to the issues. A recent study by the Urban Indian Health Institute found that Anchorage was the city with the highest number of Native women who are murdered after Seattle and Tucson. And this week marks the end of a program in Juneau to help adult learners reach their career and education goals. KTOO's Zoe Gruskin has more.
Samantha Cornell says she's always had trouble paying attention in school. The 27-year-old was born in Juneau, but moved away with her family in third grade.
And I moved back as soon as I could. I had to come home. I didn't realize it, but I missed the mountains. All my homework had little pictures of mountains on it.
Cornell did return to Juneau and graduated from Yokosuka Dakahiti High School in 2012. Today, she works as a carpenter apprentice, using skills she picked up at a nonprofit education center in Juneau called the Learning Connection, or TLC. TLC offers hands-on programs to learn a trade like construction and more. Right now, Cornell is enrolled in a totally different kind of class at TLC, one in a regular classroom with whiteboards and a projector.
I think what's different about this class is that we've sort of set it up as a commitment.
Jeff Smith is one of the instructors of that class, called the Match Program. It combines math, reading, and computer skills with lessons on how to succeed in the workplace. TLC's offerings are typically drop-in style, students coming when they can. But Smith says this class is more intense. Students in the Match Program meet almost every weekday for more than 2 months.
We know that students have busy lives, and so to commit to something long-term can be really hard. But with this class, we really wanted to get a committed group so that we could really help them move the bar.
According to Smith, the model is working. He says nationwide, only half of adult education students make it to 12 hours of instruction.
And so to have a group that eight of them started, eight of them are still with us, you know, they're there every single day, sometimes 4 to 7 hours a day. Just the level of effort and commitment that they've shown in the class has been really amazing.
Match students range in age from 17 to 60. Smith says there's also a wide range in what the students want out of the class. A few are studying for their GED. Two students are English language learners. And Cornell is thinking about going to college.
That was KTOO's Zoe Gruskin. And the Iditarod has cleared a 4-time mushing champion of any wrongdoing in the dog doping scandal. The Anchorage Daily News reports officials for the 1,000-mile Iditarod Trail sled dog race issued a statement this week absolving musher Dallas Seavey of any involvement in the drugging of his dogs.